Vijay. Thank you, Emma. Great to see you. I propose that we take the theme of adopting the progress to the first week in April when we come back. Ms. Mugodo's apology. Yes. Ms. Mugodo has told me she was in a budget lockup. She had indicated that she would be late, and I said to her, don't even try and come out because I know they will not let you go out. So we also asked Ms. Mugodo's apology, and Ms. Frank, they had apologized, they were not upset. very grateful for the committee, because for the first time after a long time, we'll be presenting ethically the product of our way. So I would like to thank the committee, and I'm actually excited on your behalf to be allowed to do that, to show that we are not just talk shop, we are receiving recommendations that should be considered by them. Thank you. Okay, all right, today we've been on Sunday. Now we can introduce ourselves to one another. I will ask committee members to introduce themselves, and then our guests will introduce themselves. I will start with you, Mr. Andrew.
I'm a member of this committee and I'm also serving in finance for the school committee. Thank you.
Can you introduce yourself to the folder?
Yes. Thank you very much. My name is Gaurav Mani. I'm a member of parliament and the proposal of the school.
Thank you. Staff, could you introduce yourself to?
Hi, I'm Nancy Fakir, I'm a senior.
Linda.
Hi, I'm Linda, I'm a senior.
Kian Jiger from the Fulton. John Kroger from the France Next Secondary Fund Benefit Fund.
Ursula Tegelesi from the Department of Public Enterprises.
Carla Prager from France Next.
Yes, my best. I'm the principal officer of the Country Secretary of Fund.
I'm the Labour Party and I'm the Department of Public Enterprise.
And as I've indicated, we've run out of money at the committee awaiting the new. So we were by NPA's accommodation, etc. So for that reason, we did not, we could not further spend money that we did not have. But I've asked the community to interact with them and request them to, if they want to make a submission, to make it in writing between now and Friday, or they could pitch on Friday. He has suggested that some of them are actually around Cape Town, and it would not, we would not incur a cost by bringing them down. But that fact we didn't know until about 20 minutes ago. And Samini?
Chairperson, I must apologize. When I introduce myself, I am a pensioner and I am a trustee. I apologize when I introduce myself. I'm a pensioner and I'm a trustee, but I've attended the meeting because they have submitted a request to the principal officer of the fund to attend the meeting, and then as a trustee pensioner, I said that I will be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Clarify how many investments advisors to the fund, so I'm not the advisor to transfer, I'm an investment advisor to the fund. That's the only reason.
That we must listen to the pensioners themselves. There are two or three organizations within the PDF, and some of them are staying right here in Cape Town. And one of them is Mr. John Bengal, I believe everybody knows. Is he a trustee?
No.
He's not a trustee of the fund.
Yeah,
Mr. Bengal, can I come? Oh, can I just
make
a point? Why? Can they present a paper to you before Friday?
Allow me to
go to the order. You can. Thank you, ma'am.
You see, you
and the proposal of
entitled to tell us how we should pay. That's why I entertain you outside the meeting. You are to just to tell me that you are not supposed to tell us who to invite and who not to invite. As I said to you outside the meeting, and I'm still saying yes, whoever wants to make a written submission to us between now and Friday, those persons may still do so. But you do not have the liberty to tell us who to invite. We are happy with the presence of a personal guest for our own records and intentions and as a party. And we hope that he is not representing his own case. That as he tells us that he must put it on the records of Parliament that he is a pensioner and he is a trustee, he will take his role in terms of taking mandate and in terms of reporting that. But I still extend the invitation for you to go and communicate with whichever, you will do that on our behalf, to extend the invitation to write to us. Or if they want to, they can still attend our meeting on Friday. Thank you. Ms. Reichmann.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I was there in the last meeting, and apparently there was somebody else, Martha or sister, who was there. And we actually accepted him in good faith. But then again, the rules did not allow us to enter into the for Martin, Honorable Martin, which he was present. So I think that you are right in saying that whoever is now has motivated in this kind of testing context to present the activities of other presentation as has been asked and nothing else.
I was still waiting for him to check with him if he wants one more or 2 minutes to outline for us his proposal and then take the responses from our guests, their take on the proposal, and then we make the way forward to discuss it as the committee for the remaining minutes that we will be having. Mr. Mili, you want to speak to your proposal? Convince us further. For your own benefit. Not that you're doubting your relationship of life.
I just want to make sure that everybody received the presentation that my colleague Mark Lowe did last week. And I'm sorry I couldn't make it, you know, what he said. It's a page and a quarter. And I would like to read that again within 3 minutes so that we can actually start the discussion. The Transnet second defined benefit from TSDEF has approximately 80,000 members. It was established in 1990 with the corporatization of Transnet. The DA private members bill to amend the Transnet Pension Fund Act 2019 is intended to safeguard the income levels of members of the TSDEF. The need for the bill arose due to the progressive impoverishment of TSDEF members that occurred in the period 2002-2007, during which no more than 2% in annual increases were awarded, ostensibly due to a statutory provision that limited annual increases in this amount. For the sake of comparison, it should be noted that other public sector pension funds award annual increases of up to 8% over the same period. However, the resistance from Transnet and the government to awarding greater annual increases was presumably also due to the fact that the funding level of the TSDEF had dropped dramatically after a bonds or equity swap earlier this decade, for which there has been no accountability to the pension fund members by other the trustees, by Transnet, the Minister of Public Enterprises, and his department. All five opposition pension fund associations and even Transnet CEO Maria Ramos for the government to step in as the guarantor-in-chief of the TSDF has gone unheeded. Now, for the past 3 years, this thing has been on the table. In every budget speech, I try to get through to the minister and everybody. I've got files here, files and files and files.
Can you please
come? The bond for equity swap concerns the exchange of 4.9 billion in Transnet T-bill government bonds for 1.5 billion in transnational shell stock trading. Okay. This led to a decrease in the funding level of the TBS from 103% in 2002 to a mere 72.1% in 2004. Despite numerous calls to the Public Enterprise Minister Alec Owen as to how it was possible that this transaction could be concluded without the knowledge of TBS members, no clarity has been given. Some relief was made available in 2007, with a 1% bonus being paid out to pensioners, with top of bonuses being made available to a maximum of 12,120 grand per annum only. This clearly not sufficient to assist TSDF members to recover the lost ground that they have suffered in relation to inflation over the same period, especially in light of the recent escalation of inflation, food price inflation in particular. It will be of great importance that something be done to assist these pensioners to ensure that they are awarded fair annual increases. Our conclusion is, we therefore request the committee to give its support to this bill by giving its recommendation that the proposing member be permitted to proceed with the bill so that it can be tabled in the House at the earliest opportunity. And it's all about figures. In this bill, there's a 2%, it's talking about a 2% increase for pension. I don't think there's any other act in this country that makes provision for a percentage when it comes to increases, etc., etc. I think that is the main thing, to get that 2% out and get a more realistic, not figure, but something on the table that can take us forward in this instance.
Committee will forgive me. I don't want to come and read you where the committee has done it, but I am not putting it. Firstly, a member of parliament proposes a bill in this on her own right, not the other party. So you can't talk about in your first introduction, the introduction paragraph there, the Democratic Alliance. So that we are going to get rid of. Also, you cannot make political speeches in the proposal. I understand you are motivated. You mention issues, things are caused by the opposition, and sort of blah, 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 blah. We actually want you to convince the committee. You can't do so by making political speeches. So that part about the calls by the opposition, etc., will also fall off. And your conclusion. Sorry, I forgot to push off my library. In your conclusion, you must plead with us, thereby the head waiting us to abide this issue. So I know your conclusion. I ignore your position because we don't want to feel low class in Africa, Southern Africans are classic and
yeah.
Yeah, but you can also see, you can't on the Southern Ombrain, on the high Ombrain, when you continue. You're not very simple. We don't want to feel our arms too steady to agree with you, but you have motivated, your policy has motivated. To allow your colleagues to do that already. At this point, I will ask our guests to give us their take. How many bodies are represented in three? Okay. I must look at my time. The house is starting at three. Yes? Okay. Who are you then? Are you delegating your member to me? Yeah, we will communicate to you what we did with your service. And you want to leave now? Okay, fine. So you better listen to what the bodies they are advising us to do. If they are interested in your business. Okay. I can give each body 5 minutes, 10 minutes to make your presentation to us on the center. After which we will take a committee member to make their input. Who is why do you do that? This man, you introduce yourself to me. Do you have the same submissions that you gave with us? I would recommend that those people who did not bring the same submissions for them should forward them by tomorrow. Because we keep them as the record of the committee, your input. The rest of the group, we would appreciate that you send a written thing of what you want to do, you advise us for in this time.
Thank you, Chairperson. We haven't prepared a written submission because as a department, we actually didn't even get the full briefing on the proposal itself and what was expected of us at this meeting. So we haven't been able to get a mandate from the minister as well. So we haven't briefed the minister on this issue at all. So that's the constraint that we sit with. But what we have been able to do is speak to Transnet because I understand that they were invited at a meeting last week. That they also at the time didn't know anything about the proposal itself or what was expected of them. So, but based on the discussion that Transnet had, they were then able to brief us on what they were told when they were invited to the meeting. And they written the response, so I understand that they did send a written response.
Can I just come in there? To the minister in cabinet and also to Transnet. Our secretary is you, but the instruction we gave out right from the beginning that whenever we invite people, the first correspondence, we attach the proposed deal so that people can read for themselves what a member of parliament is proposing. And if that does not happen, I apologize profusely. I have been under the impression all the time that that was done. But I accept our apologies and we are very grateful to you continuing to make it. She said she did send to Transnet, but not to the department. But also for the department, it's wrong for people. You know, whoever we invite, we normally attach. We should always refer from our own report, whenever we respond to the proposal. Please
provide our sincere apologies to the cabinet and the minister. We would obviously like an opportunity to brief the minister on the issue and then get his response and full mandate on how we proceed forward with the meeting or the responses. I think that I think what I can say is that based on my discussion with Transnet, my understanding is that Mr. Meany or the Honourable Member is proposing an amendment to the Transportation Fund Act. And I just want to also point out firstly to the committee that this act was actually amended. We went through a very extensive process in 2006. To amend this act. We started in 2006, but it became effective in 2007. So it was almost a year long process or even longer. And as part of those amendments, Transnet also had very extensive workshops and discussions with unions and with the pension funds around the amendments to that act. So I do want to point that out that there has been an amendment to this act and that there was a very long process that was undertaken. So we were quite surprised then to find out there's another proposed amendment and we've just completed the amendment process to the same act. And secondly, also understand that that the Honourable Member is also proposing to amend Section 24 of the Act. There is no Section 24 in the Act. And I think, the Act itself goes up to Section 14, but in any event, the Act itself also does not expressed to discuss is pension increases. Those are issues that are dealt with the rules of the fund itself, and the rules are not part of the Act. They have been published in a government report, but that was for convenience and just under members of the public, but they're actually not part of the Act itself. And so to the extent that this is a rule and that you would propose an amendment to a rule, the Act provides that any amendment to a rule must be proposed and brought and suggested by the Board of Trustees in consultation with Transnet, and where any proposals to those rules have financial implications, which obviously a pension increase would, then the Minister of Public Enterprises, with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, must approve such an amendment. So we are in a little bit of a conundrum as a department, because as I stated earlier, we haven't been fully briefed. And we've only got information that we've only gotten from Transnet itself. So it's a bit of an awkward position for us also to move forward, because it appears that that is a situation that should be dealt with by the trustees themselves, and that the trustees would also then have to get the approval of our minister, or the approval of, with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. I'm not quite sure how the committee will propose to deal with that. And also my understanding is that if there is a proposal, I'm not sure if this is done, whether the proposal actually dealt with any financial implications that could arise from this amendment. Well, but the result of the, for the bill, but I mean, it's a pension increase, so there would be financial implications, because if you're talking about an increase, it means that it automatically affects the finance, it affects the financial state of the fund itself, and as Transnet is a guarantor, it may affect Transnet's own financial health, and may have implications for the state as well, as the sole shareholder in Transnet. So I would like some guidance from the committee on how to proceed with this, because we really do find ourselves in a very difficult position as a department. But also my understanding, I think the member has also stated in his presentation that there were some payments made by Transnet. And my discussions with Transnet also advised me that they had, or I am aware also that they had taken this proposal to the minister. In June last year, of 2007, they had proposed the trustees. Yes, but they'll add to, yeah, but this does affect us as well. Just to the extent that our minister approved any amendments to rules. So one of the amendments that was done that has a bearing on this was to introduce a bonus payment for pensioners, and that was approved by our ministers. So Transnet may be able to just go into a little bit of detail that, and also elaborate on the members' presentation on the steps that they have taken to ensure that pensioners are adequately taken care of.
Yes, because I have noticed, I'll come to you every year.
I think they're all keeping track.
المفروض ان في اعداد دوارة 6 و7 اعداد. But then we mind this input by the second. And actually the cabinet goes to us on the instance of receiving the outline, the whole procedure including the amendment of last year and the issues that you have just said now. I found that to be very convincing, but it's not for our staff members to go and read the submission by cabinet. It will assist you to clarify it. And I think I would say Gary and Mr. Mini and yourself, sir, if you're going to speak to this issue, must clarify our own perception reporting that now and now then that and then the two X, what is actually happening here? Gary? Mr. Mini,
I don't know if that is with a new amendment poll last year. You can ask.
We submit our proposal, we send them to the speaker's office, and then they are supposed to do all manner of things. And they should have also brought it to the attention of the committee that there was an amendment in 2007 September that possibly covered the area that is seeking to cover. So I don't think it is Mr. Mini's fault. I don't want to, at this stage, I think you are still in your rightful place, you were in your rightful place proposing the bill, and it was not for yourself to go and discover that amendment was effected in September. So I will still protect you at the stage. So, and I don't know who that is, but I. Yes.
My proposal was tabled on the 18th of May 2007 in terms of.
Let me have
the terms of the other act, and that act was amended, was approved in September. So what you are saying now is that it's correct.
Yes, and in addition to this proposal of yours was always put before the committee in January 2008. So the call is pointing to the head office that put this amendment before the committee in January 2008. Not to spend the fact that it was submitted in May last year, also an amendment was that. So they didn't do their homework. It is that often that we need to do. They should advise the committee about the amendment. They should have decided whether to still put the issue before the committee, taking into consideration the amendment of September 2006. General Pitula. I think it's just Mr. Ainsley, the number 11. I'll keep on supporting you after that. I think I'm going to say the
member. Thank you, Chair. My name is Marie Spitz. I'm a member of the Freedom Front. Now, I've been involved specifically when the Public Enterprise Committee discussed the proposed amendment bill which came into effect last year. And back at that stage, I made a proposal to the committee. Specifically asking for what Mr. Mini is asking for here. So I fully agree with the principle of what he is asking for. And the reason for this is very simple. I think we need to be very careful as a committee not to throw away the baby with the bathwater. You know. I think there is a bit of a flaw in the bill that's been proposed by Mr. Mini. But I think the principle that he is proposing is critically important, and we should look at ways to accommodate that principle of someone. And if I could just address the committee for a little moment, and also the presenters, and perhaps you could respond to that. The fundamental problem as a starting point that we sit with, and the people we represent it with regard to the pension fund issue, is that any pension fund pension fund works in such a way that if there are any deficits in the pension fund on a year-to-year basis, those deficits need to be stocked up by the employer in question. So to apply to the Transnet provision, if there's a provision that says that an increase must be at least inflation related, if that provision causes a deficit of some kind in the pension fund, then that deficit needs to be topped up by Transnet. Our problem is a problem of a clash of interest in this situation.
You're
way
ahead of us.
Am I?
You are ahead of us.
MIA. Okay.
My,
shall we get there later? But if I can just search for, let's work on this proposal. Let's try to fix it rather than to just chuck it out.
Well, okay.
Can I just address you quickly on the rules issue? It is true that this issue can be addressed in the rules, but the problem is, as I said, there is a clash of interest situation. The rules can only be amended with the concurrence of Transnet and with the concurrence of the minister. Transnet and the minister has an interest in not changing that rule, because that will mean that Transnet will have to put money into this fund, but they won't do that. And so they will never concede to an amendment to the rules which will have the effect of costing Transnet money, because Transnet, although it's a state-owned company, it's a company that's been judged according to the rules of the company's law and to the rules of general commerce. And that's our problem.
I don't know what is your factual basis for saying they will never agree. You are speculating. I don't know what the basis is. And we will discuss this matter when we decide what to do with this thing finally. So all those facts are very important, but put them in at the end. But I don't find the basis for your argument that they will never. But if you are going to put them correct, until we consider this as a committee in terms of what are we going to do. For now, we are just entertaining this, and your argument about the rules, you can come with again later. Okay. Mr. Engie?
I don't quite understand what Mr. Mini is trying to amend. Is he trying to amend the act? Or I'd rather to say, he's trying to amend section 24 of the rules. I really need to see urgent circumstances. If he wants to amend the sections of the act, he must give us a correction. Without that, we have to use the law. Despite the fact that he's leaving us, I think the four principles are going to be the first. We can't go to Parliament for the improper law. We've got to go there and come here and make things. No matter how such a thing is.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman,
the point is in your court, either now or later. You will have to clarify in your answer to them what is it that you are seeking to amend. The law, the rules, which section, etc. You can do it now, you can do it later.
When I proposed this, it was in terms of that act that I want to change, section 24 of that act. And I can
Yeah.
And that is the last time that I heard about this. And this is the first time now that I heard about this. So if any changes, we will perfect them. And you can say I will bring a new proposal to the
table. You see, we are going to consider only that which is before us. We can't go and we can't do anything for us that we will not be by the speaker. The speaker has given us a mandate to consider a proposal as the vote is made that year, as we are clear before us right now, and then we'll talk about that. But we can't make the decision. Right.
The question, I can see that there is some lack of communication, some conflicting between where you want to hear the truth. But I would suggest that Mr. Lilly gets this back and tries to communicate with the department and whatever other areas of concern and come to us with a factual thing, you know, a proposal so we can look at it and see what we can do. But at the moment now, I don't see anything that we can go back. Especially in the respect of the amendments on Section 24 of the rules have already been done, and we must actually go through that to see what was the amendment, and if that amendment now stands as it is.
I'll come in. I'll take a government discussion and come in. I really think that we should work according to what is discussed from the speaker's office. I think maybe as a portfolio community, we should go action and give that office check, because if they need a second submission to do that, it means that the office may give those signals to whatever they're supposed to. Let us tell them of the new information that they're getting for them. If they are important, if they have this understanding too, so that we empower people in any way as a community, so we know that as a community, we're not just thinking, we also do our work, our oversight, and make sure that we make our presentation as a community.
So, it's time to bring to the discussion.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'm going to first talk to the chair, though. Yes. Jefferson. The very first thing is that this constitution, sorry, this committee represents parliament in terms of the rules that govern. The first thing is that you have consent in terms of process. That must be recognized. So that we are sincere dancing. The second one is having invited stakeholders here. It then means firstly, the report of this meeting should reflect Mr. Nini's objections or concerns in terms of what he said in saying this meeting. Secondly, the department must make a submission, a written submission in making a case, so that as a point of reference, you are then able, when you take a decision, to hear how they interpret, not how they respond. The other one is transparent in terms of its direct response to the issue. You will have noticed also that the questions that have arisen from the engagement, even regarding the Section 34 that was raised by Honorable Mayor, we should then formulate or inform the response, one in terms of the resolution that will be taken. One, the researcher together to analyze it in the excess from the department, because it's there to interpret the status quo in terms of the situation at hand. A problem has been identified by Mr. Min, because it was not a matter of grammar, but a matter of addressing a challenge as we, as members of parliament, would represent our constituency members. In what way is the department addressing this, or is government addressing the problem? It's not what concerns in writing the question that the issue has been addressed by an amendment. It then means the objective of the intention has been addressed. That where then, when you take decisions, and I think in your summary, you have concluded on the basis of the fact and having removed opinion. This then goes back to the issue of we deal with what is before us and we know not what is to come. So that the speaker will then be answerable on the office to whether the issues are presented and is addressed accordingly. And I think that will assist us rather than what we think of. Thank you.
Before we let me try to summarize. And if I'm looking after myself, it's okay, I'm not forgetting. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mini made this proposal in May. Subsequent to that, they had been asked an amendment. In Transnet's written argument, and the argument put before the committee today, that amendment suffices to, am I representing correctly? Suffices, especially to the one that I read from Transnet, suffices and actually borders on the rules. The problem can be solved by the rules that came about because of the amendment of last week. Now we are at the point where Mr. Mili's proposal was laid before the amendment. And arguments by Transnet are that since the amendment, this process has been solved. Now we must, I must write on behalf of the committee to the presiding officer to say that in terms of the proposals of Mr. Mini that he put before us, these are the things that his proposal was sent to in May, addressing a very legitimate problem. But since September 2007, there has been amendment. In the submission before the committee by Transnet, I will talk about Transnet because it's the one that told you. So far, in terms of the rules and in terms of the amendment, this problem can be resolved. It doesn't need an amendment. Now, they must advise further what must be, and I will tell and talk that they must meet Mr. Mini. In fact, in addition to that, Mr. Mini must go and check and our data where the truth is speaking. That amendment and the rules of September 2007 fully addresses the problem that Mr. Mini is trying to bring Parliament to the attention of to resolve. So both Mr. Mini and our center and the presiding office must convince us that no, actually that problem is resolved by those amendments, including the rules, or must give Mr. Mini the benefit of doubt to restructure his proposal, to put it before the committee, if he thinks that the amendments of last year are not sufficient in addressing the problem that he's trying to solve. So I don't know if the route that I'm proposing fits well with the committee, if it is consistent enough. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Mr. Mili will speak later. No, can you hold it? Jerry, before I finish, let me not propose, are you with us or any further advice you want to give?
I'm completely with him at the chairperson. I think I gave him my original act, which is not being sent to the second amendment, because he was able to give a machine to the right copy, and he must decide to become 2 or 6 items instead of 1 or 6. So I can't, the 2007 amendment, doesn't contain Section 24. However, the 2000 amendment does. And the 2007 amendment specifically should, if you are conscious on this very high level, the 2007 amendment should specifically appeal any section in the 2000 amendment. So I'm not able to check that. However, regardless of whether it's appealed or not, that 2% increase should still be contained in the 2007 amendment because it's a pending fund arrangement. And they can't move away from that and make sort of a transitional agreement or arrangement in the act. So I think we just basically address by small amendments in the honorable proposal by just changing the amendment to the consent.
Yeah, you are kind of confusing with the legal sense and the legal approach. You see, Mr. Mini would have referred to Section 24 because he was proposing an amendment of Act of 2000. And when he wrote it, Act of 2007 was not an extent which did not have a Section 24. So you're going to solve that problem for us. You're going to do everything that you can and in some sense put it before the committee, circulate it to us and propose what you think we might do. So forget about the Section 24 because in his proposal, you are not talking today. 2007, which doesn't have a Section 24. You are looking to the 2000, 2008, which has a Section 24. Okay, your question, sir.
I just wanted to find out first if I could, because I put up my hand earlier, just to clarify the issue of the amendments and what amendments was the pertinent here.
Yeah, that's what you do. Can you note that question? And you respond to it?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think when you were summarizing, that's when I also just put my hand up, and then first of all, I wanted to clarify that what was amended, because I stated earlier that we went through a process in 2006 to amend the actual act, the Transportation Funds Act, and that amendment was adopted by the MCOP, I think, in February of 2007, and was assented to by the President in September 2006. That the Transportation Fund Act does not specify a 2% increase. As I stated earlier, that is an issue that is dealt with in the rules, and it is paragraph or clause 24 of the rules themselves, which is why that was my impression that was what the honourable member was speaking to amend. So I think if you will be reverting to the presiding officer, maybe that also could be clarified, is that in September 2007, what was signed into law was an amendment to the Transportation Fund Act. And the Transportation Fund Act, as it currently stands now, would then include amendments that were made in 2000 and in 2006. So I would suggest that's the base document that should also be used, because that's the document that is valid and existing in law, and it would include the amendments that were done in 2007. And with respect to then the amendment that was made to the rules, relates to a bonus payment to pensioners. And that amendment was approved by our minister with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance in June of 2007. And that is what I said maybe, you know, then the committee would have to consider whether or not that adequately addresses the principle.
So that is not in the Act, it's in the rules. And I made it in 2007. Okay. Your question is an answer. Okay. Also, we need a certain choice. My understanding is that all those are governed by the Pension Fund Act as the the rules are adopted by the trustees, am I right? The fund, and not by parliament. The rules conform to the act on minimum. No, that's like this. Because when trustees with the fund can negotiate anything about this, and this is a common practice in general, if it is different with this. What I'm trying to indicate, Chairperson, is that always reference to the rules, although after being adopted, they become law. So, but all what I'm trying to say is there's a confusion that if there is any reference to the rules, in what way are those rules susceptible to any change without parliament? Because if you have rules, that can be agreed to change. That's why I'm trying to relate them to, as is the case with the Constitution, that the laws we may pass must be constitutional if they don't. Now I want to check your rules against the Pension Fund Act, so that it is then able to clarify as the issue. Because in the Act, if there is a minimum percentage, whether it is up or down, can I be clarified around it?
I have your question. When you spoke about the successfulness of the rule, to make maneuvers. If you want to maybe a letter to the people to the best time.
It's too big time. What do you want to do for us? And keep on it.
Just clarification for my the pension fund act goes from clause 1 to clause 14b. That's the act. Section 1 to section 14b, that's the act. The pension fund rules, which are governed by the act, go from rule 1 to rule 28. So the reference, if I may, 24 is most probably made to the rules and not to the act. But the act only goes as far as I can see, only goes as far as section 14b, and then the rules go first.
And rules go for the 2010 and the 2013. So if you know
Chairperson. It was responding to the member's question. Just to affirm that the rules must comply with the Act. But what the intent of the rules is that the rules would also give greater detail to issues that are not dealt with in the Act, such as pension increases. And that the rules would also then govern the trustees, because the rules are the ones that then tell the trustees how they should manage the fund. But the rules must comply with the Act on that issue. The Act also then deals with the process of amending those rules. So if the intention then is to amend the rules, then the rules wouldn't come to Parliament for amendment. The trustees would propose an amendment, take it to Transnet. If Transnet agrees, then it comes to the minister, and our minister would then engage the Minister of Finance. But this is rules that would have a financial implication, because if it has a financial implication, then it will affect Transnet and then ultimately the state itself. So that's the link also between the two.
Why to tell us that there will be a cost to the state? Of course, there should be a cost to the state. So I will ignore the last one. I will take everything you said except the issue of the cost to the state. Because I think you are pushing us so much together, and I don't want to say it at the end. Mr. Speed, and then Mr. How is the problem?
Chairperson. I think it's important that you must say, I've had a provident fund for more than 10 years. I am saying, in terms of the definition, one resolution has been taken by trustee. That's why I was saying that. Now what we are asking here, your rule, if they address one of the members' issue, and this is what the chairperson is saying, let that be confirmed, then there is no time. I'm saying my up and down. Yes, because for the reason trustees are there, they negotiate with the fund, representing the member. The fact that I had a national president fund, and that's why I was speaking from that area, that if there was a clause that was amended to address that, let that be contained. Because the rule cannot go below the minimum that has been set by the Pension Fund Act. That's why I'm making this comparison. In terms of...
The rules cannot go below the minimum that has been set by the Act. Is that the case right
now? There's no minimum in the Act. And I think the principal officer wants to also add.
Thank you. I think just that the Transnet Secular Fund Benefits Fund does not fall under the 1956 Pension Funds Act. It was created in terms of the Transnet Pension Fund Act and not in terms of the FSP. And hence there is no minimum benefit then as per that Act. Yes, on that specific issue, maybe you can raise my
question. What we are saying here, if there is an act of other men that is moving totally outside the normal working, it then means it was correct for all of the members to take something that will make us amend the act to accommodate. Because that loose arrangement that on its own moves out the person will create a problem where technicalities of this nature. For instance, if we
also have
okay. No, that's on a principle, because my minimum is not even necessarily on legal. But there are minimum standards regulated by the Act, which form the basis of any decision that is taken by anyone. That's my idea.
Yeah,
that
happens. There is no minimum standard or whatever. You'll come back. I'll come back to you, sir. I noticed that you were not legal. Okay, this is your mind. Is that please?
I'm afraid that I might be running ahead again. But the point that I want to make is that I think the principle of what Mr. Meehan proposes, there's a great deal of sympathy for that. The exact wording and the exact numbering may not be correct. So my suggestion would be that we work on an alternative. I believe the committee is actually mandated to do that, to amend the wording to such an extent that the committee feels comfortable with the wording and to propose that they have to then start the discussion from there on. Practically, it would mean it's been said to us that the actual act that we're talking about has got 14 sections. One of those 14 sections will probably be an enabling section which says that there will be the power to agree and proclaim certain rules. I believe that the section that needs some amendment might be that one, because that one might have a proviso stating that those rules may not provide for an increase of less than inflation or whatever. So I believe that's probably where our solution might lie if we would like to take this issue from the legislature's point of view. If we do not take this route, then we will have to leave it to the parties who have to agree on the rules. And unfortunately, I have not done that so far.
Can I just ask you for your point? Can I ask our director and president in the department to go and check for us Rule 24, Chapter 24 of the rule, identify for us its springboard on the end, which section, which part of the end that it springs from? So that we can check whether Mr. Rini needs to go and redraft his proposal. But let me just tell the committee that for Mr. Rini to redraft his proposal, it must be that square one. He can't redraft it with us here without involving the presiding officer. He would have to go and read a new proposal. In his proposal, he has erroneously written the sections of the clauses or the points of reference. We will urge the presiding officer to allow him to retable. But he will have to go back where he came from the presiding officer back to us. Alternatively, we can look into facilitating the thing by looking into the rules. I don't know if there's any other suggestion. Alternatively, we have to maneuver to see in terms of the rules, where and how can we facilitate this thing? And where if there is no room for maneuver, he will have to go and retract his proposal. But we will still look for the room for maneuver, and we'll ask everybody, including yourself, Mr. Steve, to go and do your homework, to ask myself, me and say, there is a lot of sympathy. When he told me that there is 2% in the act, I said, that act must go away. We have no right, we don't have,
we should have an act that is simply a figure. But it is now clear that it's actually not the act, but that is exactly the rule. So our homework must succeed. So you have to go and get the amended act as a rule and check whether what you are trying to address has not been has not been sufficiently addressed by that name. You have to go and look for us the way to maneuver to facilitate this process. You will also have to go together with them to go and check for us which portion of the act is directly related to the rule that you are trying to, rule 24, that you are finding a problem with. Other than that, I suspect that we have to hear out transcript now and everybody and at the end. Until we go and do our homework, etc., and maybe put this issue in abeyance, I don't think we'll be ready by Friday. I don't think, if we want to do justice to the thing, I don't think we'll be ready by Friday. It looks like we will have to cover it next week Friday with 6:30. Still a bit of time from that Friday's meeting for 20 minutes and call everybody next. It looks like we have to go and do our homework. Especially the presenter and especially the our researcher, and to give a chance with interact with the minister and to convince us that the amendments of last year, including the rules, are sufficiently addressing the disability concern. You will convince us otherwise. You can by all kinds of means. Our guests to try to tell you not heading out. So I said I'll come back to you and I'll come back to you, something to you too also later if you want to say something. The committee members will have the last way. So I'm rounding you up in this order. Yourself, men, yourself, sir, yourself, and then committee members. Then we close.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk. As I have earlier outlined, we weren't sure what to expect at this meeting. We weren't sure whether we were required to provide some responses or to respond on what to respond. And since the minutes detailed paper, we only heard for the first time today. The first point I'd like to make is that Section 24 is never given the Act. It's part of the rules. The rules were attached to the Act as a schedule, were attached to the Amendments Act of 2000 as a schedule. And I would also like to say that a committee that is amending an act and hasn't read 14 sections of that act or the 30 sections of the rules, it's also quite frustrating to deal with that when we sit down, we know the rules and the act backwards. The committee member who wants to make the proposal hasn't read the act or hasn't read the ones that go with the act. If I can move on, my next point is...
You are actually attacking the integrity of the member.
I apologize, I'll withdraw my statement.
Thank you.
If I can carry on, the rule, the act then very clearly says...
Go back and draw up a new schedule and send it to Parliament and release all 40.
I'm going to check off the city and do a big table of rules already. I'm not using a time to see what's on the platform. She has apologized and accepted the apology. Allow me to see. I said any act of the representation of the member of the
Continue. If I can carry on, the Act in Section 14B5 and 6 clearly states how the rules should be, how the fund should be managed and how the rules should be amended. What the fund would like to do and what Transnet is also open to do is to sit with Mr. Money and take him through the Act, take him through the rules, take him through the rule amendment process that we went through last year as well, which we believe addresses the needs of the pensions within the constraints that Transnet faces and that the fund faces and that the pensions face. So we are very open to sitting with Mr. Money and taking him through that whole process. You raised the 2% as a minimum. The 2% is a guaranteed minimum. There are not many other pension funds in the country that have a guaranteed minimum. So although 2%, if you look at it on a standalone basis, is a low number, it's guaranteed. A lot of other pension funds don't have any guaranteed pension increase. If I can carry on, what I'd like to leave the committee with today is the point that has made a rule amendment, not an act amendment, and B, that we have made a lot of progress with the fund am I allowed to take a few minutes just to tell you what we've done with that fund, which I think addresses a lot of the sympathetic issues that have been raised by the committee members today. I think since 2004, when I got involved, a crisis point seems to have been reached within the Transit Pension Fund. There was a deficit of over 5 billion within the TSDDF. And at that point, the government's exercise had pointed out that the rules required only 2% to be paid. They didn't allow for anything more than 2% to be paid. Hence, the trustees were asked to desist from paying more than 2% in 2003 until that could be sorted out. And at that point in time, Transnet's balance sheet as well was also not looking very good. So simply to put a rule amendment in place which would carry on or further negatively impact their rule amendment was not an option at that point in time. We worked together with the trustees over the last few years to try and craft a solution that meets the needs of everybody, Transnet financial constraints, the financial constraints of the fund, and the needs of the pensioners. And we worked together with the trustees to understand all of that and to find a good solution. We believe that the solution we found resulted in a strong fund today. It has a deficit of almost has a surplus of almost 2 billion, and that's coming from a deficit of 5 billion. It's a financially stable fund. We went through a massive immunization exercise last year to stabilize most of the assets of the fund. So pensions can guarantee that deficits like we've seen in the past won't occur again. We've put it in a good position because the bonus rule might be supplement, so the fund will be able to pay more than 2%. We've just structured it as a bonus rule and not as a pension increase, so the Transnet balance sheet can be protected, but at the same time the pensioners can get more than 2%. And as I said, we've got 2 billion. And that 2 billion, it looks like it's more than reasonable to assume that it will pay at least 70% of CPI annually to these pensions going forward. CPI is something that all the pension funds access, which regulates other pension funds, is that funds should target some form of inflation. GDP targets 75% of inflation. We've only got enough at the moment to target 70% on an annual basis, but we are still not finished with the fund. We're still doing a lot of work to try and make sure that the fund is able to pay more to its pensioners. We last year Transnet paid 125 million ex gratia bonus to these people. It paid to the pensioners, to all the pensioners of the fund. These people are the people that I worry about every day, that I work with every day. So we put aside 125. The fund itself paid a 1.5% of annual pension bonus to the fund. Now, if I can compare this to 1.5% is 50 million of the paid out pension. Transnet paid 125 million out. So we've recognized the issues that the pensioners face, and we've paid the extra, we've paid the 1.5. We've also run an endeavor with our pensioners to try and explain to them the rule of limits, to explain why it's a bonus and not a pension increase, but to explain the fact that they will be getting more than 2%. We're also running, in order to improve governance, a pension election process that should be finished by the end of April, and we should have two. They will elect their own pension and trustees. And as I say, we've worked a long way to make sure that the fund is in a better position. So I believe we have made it.
I'll come back for the 2 seconds. Let me move my desk. I wouldn't be getting on site. Yes,
sir? Chairperson, if I can only maybe add or elaborate on the things that Carla said, but let me start by extending the invitation to the committee, because as you may have gathered, there's been a lot of work done, and we have, both from Transnet and from the fund side, applied our mind to this 2% issue. And I think with our prejudice is, we are both prepared to sit with you and just share that, what we've done. Not to take anything away from the proposal or the objective, but I think just to see what has transpired. And this, I'm saying against the background, that this fund is a closed fund. It's got 84,000 pension members. As opposed to a government employee pension fund, where you've got 4 active members for every 1 pension member. So the asset pool is constrained. There's only so many assets in the fund. And within those constraints, I think, we've done a couple of things. We've introduced a bonus rule, we've matched the assets and the liabilities, and we by no way say it's a perfect solution, but within the constrained environment, I think we can share with you, what we've done in that.
Thank you. We'll
come
back to you,
sir.
Sure.
Thank you.
the guidance of the committee. Chairperson, just the guidance of the committee, I'm a trustee, and I've got a fiduciary duty to work the fund. So any amendments or proposals made in terms of pension increase, I would like to take that to the Board of Trustees for consideration. And that is, I need a guidance of the committee as doctor. Any proposal can be forthwith. If we take it to our committee and our trustees are meeting, I think it's next week and Thursday. Table issue there and then give it a response on that. Thank you, Jefferson.
Whatever we need to say at the end of the day, what we think to do, we will communicate with all the roads here at the same time. And that will go to me as well, and eventually, you know, what we say to the community that we go to. I think, remember that the two questions are
Clara.
Can I just move from 5 billion to 2 billion?
Correct.
You must show us the limit that you move from the 3 billion to the 2 billion. I don't expect you to have my big professor. You have to be able to do this. This is phenomenal. And how many years do you think you can move from 5 billion to 2 billion?
It was from 2005 to 2007, the surplus was 1.7 billion as of the 31st of March before solvency reserve, and that was on the back of very strong equity markets, interest rate movements that worked in our favour, and the sale of DNA, which is the fund of interest in DNA. All pension funds have done very well over the last 3 or 4 years.
So you have to call this as well.
And then this woman, the 1.5, has got a bonus. So they know this was the one who had the one. The bonus from Transnet, the 125 million, was a one-off ex-gratia bonus. Transnet pays that. And that was paid in 1% for everybody, another 1% if you were over 65. And the first was for if you earned less than 1,000 rand a month, that topped you up to 1,000 rand a month. So we have a category which we call a pre-1996 back widows. They got over 9,000 rand bonus in their account. That was from Transnet. Then as soon as the rule amendment was approved, the fund paid 1.5% to all of its pensioners. That is something that the fund can do on a regular basis. The bonus rule allows trustees to pay bonuses as and when they see fit. We have, as I said before, enough money in the fund for the trustees, if they so decide, to pay 1.5% compounding annually every year to pensioners.
And since
it's not sufficient money, that it's more than reasonable that they will be able to pay that. And that's 70% of CPI, if you look at government CPI being between 4 and 6%.
Thank you. I think it's just a thing, it's good saying to everyone who presented, but I want to clarify something so that in the spirit of this committee, you should be understood. One, that from the time and the chief has taken the route through the speaker and ourselves, that translates to be aware that any sexual thing or any information that you need to share, you have to share with us here. So that, because by agreeing or disagreeing, as this committee, you might be setting a precedent that will affect Parliament in the environment. So it's important to understand. Exactly, right. That's why you said today's meeting, which I said earlier. It will help us in terms of getting your response as well as select other things that you might have triggered. That's the next idea. That will help us. I want to say this to the CEO also. We should not undermine the environment in which we are participants today. And this is also for the benefit, if not the trustees. For me, when we talk about, and it's not about ignorance, to say the closed thing. Because you know that we have a very serious challenge today about the pension by the satellite. That is an environment, whether it's satellite or not. People, those who might be offending or whatever, do have concerns. Amen. That's why whatever opportunity we find in communication with the people. The other one is saying this or taking advantage of the presence of the vaccine. It is the duty of the party to communicate and educate street members.
It's up to you whether you will speak or not. You cannot force a person to sit down with the issue so that they can
No, thanks. That's a big one for that, because it might not be the end where we deal with customers. We don't want to conclude that you are just being like this. I think it should be an opportunity also to like communicate to us. But I'm raising a point here that if investment issues, related issues, you are bound to communicate, because if investment must be through the guidance of the representation of the trustees. So these are things that we say we are looking forward to whatever information that you might hear that is in the room. You have to prepare for the research recommended that your responses in writing to the department. And I think the department is well placed also to empower us as members that things of the past, now I'm going to the competition. If there are things that, in terms of the people of the Constitution, that is all the rules are outdated, I think you need to begin to change them. I don't say because I need to read them first and get on. So I was just saying that it is important that you have been. And I think we have long concluded in terms of the approach and the one that you pronounced in the evidence. But I'm not saying in education, the attitude has to be whether customers is flexible or not, but this is an opportunity to communicate to the nation, because customers cases might not end up to be
cases.
Next to Friday, the first
decided that we want to already be prescribed. Okay. Mr. Mimi?
This time he's Mr. Speaker. We all look alike, but yeah, we are different.
You are better. You are more
yeah, I'm both for different parties as well. The one fundamental thing that's been mentioned by Carla, which I would just like confirmation on, is that you mentioned that the fund will be in a position from now onwards to provide at least a bonus equal to 70% of CPI. Is that correct? And if so, has that been communicated to the pensioners? Because I still get inquiries from pensioners that giving me the idea that they are not aware of that process.
You didn't hear that properly. That is quite a third time. I wrote your email.
What the surplus allows the trustees to do is to pay a bonus which will make sure that their pension plus their 2% plus their bonus will get them to approximately 70% of CPI every year. So that's what the surplus will do. It's not 70% of CPI, it will make their whole package for the year 70% of CPI. And your second question is something that this process has raised with an awareness with us as well and with the trustees as well, is that we put an announcement in the paper about the rules. We also wrote to every single member and explained the rule amendments to them. And we held a pension in Java last year in August 2007, where we invite their pension club executives and people who have a pension following or meeting with those pensioners. We invite all of them, and we took them through the rule amendments and the bonus rule versus the pension increase rule. But clearly, it doesn't seem to have been understood properly. We didn't talk about 70% of CPI, and once again, it's to not create a reasonable benefit expectation, which is then valued and which then impacts Transnet's balance sheet. We want to be able to do it, but we need to protect Transnet's balance sheet at the same time. So although we've never said to them 70% of CPI, we said we can give you more than 2%, it'll just be in the form of a bonus instead of paying a pension increase.
I'm just saying you might also take this as a communication opportunity to the nation and to through parliament, because you know all members of parliament in their constituency, they have your pension. So take this opportunity not only in the city, but to communicate using this opportunity that avenue that is open for you. Not only to communicate privately to your beneficiaries, pension beneficiaries, but to their own public, because there could be someone that would read about it and explain to a next door neighbor. There could be another MP that's not sitting here that would learn from that communication. So it will help all of us if you will communicate as properly as possible. We can't teach you how to go and communicate, but it's an opportunity for you. Until we meet next, thank you very much. I will write to everybody to remind them about our expectation of this. And I will also communicate to members between now and next Friday. And this meeting is adjourned, except that we must adopt the limits of, you know, by time has run out, we arrive in the house to adopt the limits. We'll do everything else next week, Friday, when we meet. Do you have your minutes? You have all your tape for me. But why are we using that? It is not for you to go and sit and listen to the tape to this thing. And our communication to people must be tiny and must be very good. You know we had a problem with the process. That is no longer what we do for us. So we hope that you will soon then learn that, but get into there for your support. We don't like situations where you can't be aware of parents here that people were not given a document in time, they did not know what to do, and all those things. It doesn't work away on the image of parents. We depend on you and the decisions, the way you plug it like a phone call away, Gary is also there for your support. So, thank you.
The copy of the 2008 incomplete, and I
are very sufficient. We have strong cases because we need to also find time to read those.
Is the text
before? No, yes, I am not reading that.
So the document is put before us and before it was to be accepted. Yes? Okay. And together we will all use it. Shall we do this?
I'm going to